Hey, good morning, and welcome to A Vision for You, Overeaters Anonymous meeting. My name is Nancy C. I'm a
Hi, it's
grateful,
Nancy
recovered
P.
compulsive overeater and your leader for this morning. Today is Tuesday, the 29th of April, and this is the 7 a.m. meeting, and we are reading from the Big Book. We are on page 94, the first paragraph. Starting with outline the program of action through the first five sentences, ending with place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. The reference numbers for yesterday are the 7 a.m. meeting is 22,382. That's 22382. And the 10 a.m. meeting is 22,383. That's 22383. Today's readers are, and thank you for your service. Reading the text for us this morning is Susan S.H., who is also serving as backup. Our page 164 is Marge O. On the 12 steps is Michelle J. and Traditions Barb P. Our newcomer greeter is Loretta H. and our host for the second hour is Christine G. And thanks everyone, Team Tuesday, for your service this month. Overeaters Anonymous Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffer. At A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through the abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Michelle J., will you please read the 12 steps for us this morning?
Good morning, family. Michelle J. from Texas. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. We admitted we were powerless. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of persons, all persons we had harmed, and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12. Having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle J. And reading the 12 traditions this morning is Barbara P. Barbara.
Good morning, everyone. The 12 traditions of OA. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me serve this month.
Thank you, Barbara P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirements for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 94, the first paragraph, starting with outline the program of action through the first 5 sentences. And I'm going to ask Susan S.H. to get going for us. Susan.
Thank you. I've got a surprise opportunity today. Susan S.H. in Ohio. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Outline the program of action, explaining how you made a self-appraisal, how you straightened out your past, and why you are now endeavoring to be helpful to him. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on to him plays a vital part in your own recovery. Actually, he may be helping you more than you are helping him. Make it plain he's under no obligation to you, that you hope only that he will try to help other alcoholics when he escapes his own difficulties. Suggest how important it is that he place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Oh, this is such a good reminder. It reminded me of when I was working with my initial sponsor. It reminds me of when I start with a new sponsee. After establishing some trust, which we've been talking about in the last few paragraphs, then you outline the program of action. This is what I did. This is what helped me. And I guess I was a little doubtful when my sponsor would tell me that I may be helping her more than she was helping me. I had a hard time believing that. But as a sponsor, I see it. Every time I review the paragraphs and the chapters, I help myself to understand just a little bit better. That's where that layers of the onion come in. You know, I get deeper into this way of life, into this set of directions that help me. I'm humbled and awed by how when I'm the most helpful to other people, and the most helpful to myself also. It's amazing how that works, and I will forever be awed by the mystery and grateful for the directions. And I'm so glad to be reviewing these directions so that I can continue to help others and myself. and short, but I will pass.
Hey, thank you for getting us going this morning, Susan S.H. Really appreciate you. And so now the lines are going to be open for who wants to share on this paragraph. And before I take a list of names, just let me remind you that there are a lot of people on this line, so let's share the space. If you shared on any vision meeting, either Monday or Friday, we ask that you step back and let others have an opportunity to share. So who would like to share on this topic? Press star one to unmute.
Awesome. Shelly B. from Minnesota.
Katie, Shelly.
Larry K.
Larry K.
Nicole S.
Nicole S. You guys are being great this morning. Thank you. Who else wants to jump in here? Anayetta.
Shanna C.
Shanna C.
Andrea.
Andrea. All right, let me tell you who I've heard. I've heard Katie B., Shelley, Larry K., Nicole, Panayetta, Shanna C., and Andrea. Let's start with that lineup. And Katie B., you're up, followed by Shelley. Katie, please tell us where you're calling from and you have.
Hey, Nancy. Any chance it was Katie G. from Boston?
Yes, it was Katie G. Sorry, I got my
okay,
G's and G's mixed up.
It's okay. My ears are broken half the time. Good morning, everyone. This is Katie G., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Boston, and I love this line. It is important for him to realize that your attempt to pass this on plays a vital part of your own recovery, and vital literally means life-giving. And I never really understood that. I came into recovery and I was so glad that you guys thought that it was really important to help me. I was really glad that you thought it was more important to your recovery that you helped me, that you were willing to set aside your time for me, that you really saw how important I am. And yet, what I didn't realize is the vital nature that comes when I help another. And I don't always want to help someone. You know, selfishness, self-centeredness, that is the root of my trouble. It isn't natural for me to think, oh, yeah, you know, I really want to show up and talk to a sponsee. In fact, you know, for me, service really comes when I need to go out of my way and help another. And what I find is that instead of doing what I think I should do, which is sit there and think about my problems and talk about my problems and talk to all of you about my problems, what happens is when I help somebody else, when I talk about, you know, how it is I get better a day at a time, how I did get better, how with God's help my past has been straightened out, and I get the solutions. The solutions to my life just appear because I get out of the way, get out of my own way. And I often, I mean, 99, I would say 100% of the time, I think I'm helping others more than they're helping me. And it's interesting, you know, this isn't about for me having a certain number of sponsees and getting a certain number of outcomes because I have no control about that, right? Like what I have to do is try to help other alcoholics and the way that people tried to help me, and I am not in the outcomes business. And that's the deal. You know, nobody's under obligation to call me again. I am just sharing my experience, strength, and hope. So I'm really grateful that the vital part of my recovery today is to help others. Because it does absolutely change my own life and get me and help me stay connected to God and his kids. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Katie G. from Massachusetts. And next up, we have Shelley. Shelley, if you could give me the initial of your last name and the state you're calling from, the floor is yours.
This is Shelly B. B is a boy.
Okay, and you're calling from?
Minnesota.
Hey, you have the floor, Shelly.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I had a phone call this morning from my brother. He has the same disability I do, and he was telling me how he saw this football player that was a year younger than him when he went to class, how he is world famous now for defense in the football league, and he reads the Bible every morning, and he's kind, and he's humble. In school, he would not go with the trouble, the people that cause trouble. And I'm so glad. I've been praying for my brother for a long time, and I put a prayer request to a friend yesterday to give him peace. He sounds so much better, and I really believe in prayer. I always put people on prayer lines several times a week, different people. And sometimes it's kind of nauseating that I'm always talking about prayer to people, but I plan on having a group here, seeing the loneliness epidemic. 25% of the people are lonely all the time. And I'll be honest, I still struggle with compulsive eating. I'm not recovering. That hit me only momentarily that I maybe shouldn't be talking, so I won't talk too long more. But Bob said, brother, be decisive. And I said, what I learned about God, take the action, let him do the footwork, leave the results to God. And with that, I'll pass.
We're glad you're here, Shelly B. from Minnesota. And next up we have Larry K. from Chicago. Larry, please share with us.
Good morning, Nancy. Thanks so much for your service. I'm Larry K. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. You know, when I think about you know, we don't have to go much further than that first sentence, outline the program of action. And it's amazing how many meetings do not outline the program of action. And those meetings eventually won't be around. There's a reason why we get, you know, 300-400 people live every morning, thousands and thousands of others on this meeting. I'm not suggesting everything you hear, certainly out of my mouth, is going to be good, helpful stuff. But you will consistently hear, we study this book, which is our text, that shows us what and outlines the program of action. In other words, the program of action is the implementation of the 12 steps. Everything else, including this meeting, people you hear, the different things, all the helpful things, the handrails, they're handrails. The tools are essential and they're critical. They are not the program of action. The program of action, they're there. They inform the program of action. They support the program of action. But let's be clear on what it is. Because if we're not, we're going to tell people lots of different things. The program of action is the implementation of the steps. And considering that we have a disease that is deadly to folks like us, it's critical that we're able to distinguish between the two, what the program is and what it isn't. And the instruction manual for how to implement the steps is laid out in the first 164 pages of our text, the primary text of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's a program, I tell people it's a program of restoration. What's restored? Our sanity. How does it get restored? Well, we're brought into congruence with a power greater than ourselves. We're seeking a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience. We shift from a self-centered orientation to a God-centered orientation. And here's a very important insight, you know, that dawns for me, at least, the I doesn't have an agenda. I is the agenda. The ego comes with built-in demands. They're evolutionary. They're necessary. And no matter how hard we struggle either to deny these demands or fulfill them, neediness is a state of awareness, and the I will never loosen its grip until we find a higher state of awareness. Once we get that higher state of awareness, the desire for food, leaves us. It's eradicated. It's driven out the desire for alcoholic foods. And many other beautiful things happen. But I get to try to get really clear on what this program is and what it isn't. And I will outline that for someone else if they want it. With that, I pass. Thanks, Nancy.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Larry K. from Illinois. And next up, we have Nicole S. Nicole, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. This is Nicole S., recovered from Colorado. And I like how it talks about endeavor to be helpful. That's like to work with a set purpose. So I'm just, you know, I've got a purpose, and that's to help others. And by helping them, you know, it's vital that I help them. And, you know, I have to help others. I have to get out of my own selfishness in order for me to stay recovered. And, you know, then it says to try to help. We're going to, you know, ask them when they get recovered to try to help. And, you know, that's with, for me, you know, that's only with God's help, God's direction, me being the actor simply playing my role that my director gives me every day. And, you know, I'm just going to try. Some people it's going to stick, others it's not. That's all I have to do is try. And that placing others' welfare above my own, it made me kind of think is that I have to have, you know, eat a certain way. And when I, it doesn't mean that I'm giving up what I absolutely need, you know, my food needs. And, you know, other basic needs that I have, it doesn't mean that, you know, I'm throwing all those out the window and putting others above me. But it does mean, you know, their happiness, their welfare, their good fortune. You know, we think of sometimes welfare is like, you know, those in need. So those who truly need this and want this, you know, I'm gonna put theirs above me, and that has to be for me a self sacrifice sometimes of giving up what I want, not my needs, but what I want. And there have been, you know, a lot of times that I have put you know, even in program, maybe my wants, not particular needs, above what my family wants, and it's caused problems, you know, over the years. So I have to constantly look at that, look at their well-being, and be willing to give a self-sacrifice, because my core of my illness is I'm selfish, and I've got to look at that every day. So I love these clear directions. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Nicole S. from Colorado. And before Hanayeta jumps on, let me please remind everyone, if you got on late, that we are on page 94, the first paragraph, the first five sentences of the first of the paragraph, starting with outline the program of action and going to the welfare of other people ahead of his own. Hanayeta, please tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Thank you so much for your service. I really appreciate you. My name is Hanayeta R., and I'm in Texas, Plano, Texas. So I know that helping another person is like the thing that I love doing most. Actually, my husband tells me sometimes, you want to just save the world. That's all you ever want to do is save the world. You want to help everybody. And I go, yeah, I do. and he just isn't made that way. We're just so totally opposite in that area. But, and I really do believe what it says. Actually, he may be helping me more than I am helping him or her. And, you know, there's been so many times in my many, many decades of being in program that, you know, my sponsee saved me from relapsing. You know, like, how can I relapse? I can't relapse. I can't eat that. You know, I'd lose my sponsee. And I don't have to do that today. But there was a time that really did make a difference. And that my sponsees are like so precious to me. And I have to tell you, my sponsees send me their gratitude and something they learned from a meeting and what they're in their food plans for the day. And I love opening my phone in the morning, and one of the first things I see are all those little messages to me from my sponsees. It just really just makes my day. It's so awesome. And so anyway, I love my sponsees, and I love sponsoring, and I love giving this program away. And if I don't give it away, I don't get to keep it. And that's a saying that just impairs me, that I know that I have to give this program away, or I'm not going to get to keep my program. So I love you guys. I think you're wonderful. To the newcomer, welcome. If you can't press *1 to say you're here, welcome anyway. I think you're one of the most important people in the meeting. If you're struggling, both of you, don't quit 5 minutes before the miracle. Everyone has a miracle out there. Everyone. If I get a miracle, everyone can get a miracle. Thanks for letting me share, sweetie. Be well.
Thank you, Hanayetta from Texas. And next we have Shanna C. from Tennessee.
Good morning. This is Shanna C., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Tennessee. And thanks, Nancy, for leading the meeting and everyone who shared. And I love this reading because it just keeps it real and it keeps it simple. Outline the program of action. Lay the set of spiritual tools at their feet. You know, so many times I think that, you know, it's on me to save someone's life, or it's on me, you know, I got to get this thing perfect. And one of my sponsors told me, so you don't have to do this perfect. All you got to do is make this connection. And I am so grateful that all I got to do is give to those who asked me for help what was given to me the way that it was given to me. And that's it. I don't have to figure it out for them. I don't have to be their psychiatrist. I don't have to be their best friend, which there's a special kind of friendship that, I don't know, something spiritual about it that makes it so unique and priceless. But it's not like I'm their friend. You know, I've had plenty of sponsees that say, I don't need any friends. I need someone who's going to tell me the truth and love. And, you know, I've had to practice telling the truth and love because I am somebody, believe it or not, that can be brutally honest. You know, and I had a sponsor that told me they said anyone can hear the truth as long as it's said in love. It may take a minute to sink in. But yeah, you know, I know that's been my experience anyway, and I've been able to hear a lot of things that I needed to hear because I've been graced with sponsors who have worked these steps and have had that spiritual experience, and there was something that I see in them that I want, and they were able to guide me through these steps to that power that I need in order to stay abstinent and live and to make my abstinence and my sobriety, you know, with food livable. Because I have one of two solutions left to my own devices. I have compulsive eating that'll numb it for a little bit, and then I get sick and I'm waiting in that hell until my stomach empties a tad bit so I can stuff more in it. I have, you know, this is life on a spiritual basis. And so I'll tell a quick story. I just spent a week in Hawaii with the love of my life on. It was the most magical time I've ever had. I didn't think it was even possible. And I'm not exaggerating. I could feel the presence of my higher power everywhere and the love between me and my husband, even during rough times. I mean, we got on each other's nerves at times, believe me. With the time change, I'm on Eastern time and we went to Hawaiian time. Oh, my God. And remained abstinent. You know, and that was magical. But I got to tell you, on the plane ride back, when I'm praying to God, okay, God, thank you for the most wonderful time of my life. But I feel it. I need my boots on the ground and my head in the clouds with you, and I need to be of service. And I'm praying for that willingness, ability, and opportunity to be of service. And I kid you not, when I flew from Honolulu to Chicago, as soon as those wheels hit the ground and I turned on airplane mode, I get requests.
Gentle reminder.
Yes. And it's just like, well, I think God heard me. And so here I am, you know, a boots on the ground, able to be helpful in whatever way that I can. So Anyway, thanks, Nancy. That's all I have. Grateful to be abstinent and on the line again this morning.
Thank you, Shanna C. from Tennessee. And next up, we have Andrea B. from New York, and then we're going to take another lineup. So be ready. We're on page 94, the first five sentences of the first paragraph. Andrea, please share with us.
Thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. Andrea, gratefully recovered in this program. So many years ago, when I came into this program and I had completed my steps, my sponsor said, you know what, start, you know, qualifying. And if you find a sponsee, you know, start sponsoring. And so I was invited to qualify in person. And I went to the meeting, and there was someone there who was clearly differently abled. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, God bless this person's sponsor. And so after I qualified, I said, I'm available to sponsor because my sponsor told me to. And of course, immediately after the meeting, this person made a beeline to me and said, are you available to sponsor? And I said, no. And they said, but you just said you were. So I said, I have to talk to my sponsor. So I call up my sponsor and I say, this person, like, I don't think I can do it. It would be very difficult. They have a diagnosis. And I fully expected my sponsor to say, you're right. This is too much for your first sponsee. Just politely say you can't do it and move on. And instead, my sponsor said, I think it would be really good for you to sponsor this person. And for about 3 months, every single day, on time, this person called me. So here's the thing. They had gone through the first three steps, and for the last, 2 years, they had been writing their fourth step. And so this person had a ledger, an accountant's ledger, filled with resentments. And they didn't go very far beyond the resentments. And so they were looking for a sponsor to take them through the rest of the 12 steps. And so every day for about 3 months, I got a phone call from them. And all they would say is, can I trust you to turn over my my fourth step to you? Can I trust you to do this? And I'd say, yes, of course. And they'd say, well, I have to think about it. And, you know, we would talk about a few other things, their food, et cetera. And that was it. And at the end of the 3 months, the person said, you know what, I can't trust you. And they never called me again. That experience taught me that my role as a sponsor is not the savior. It's not the amazing guide. My role as a sponsor is to just show up and to share the program, do the step work, and that's it. I don't get to decide if this person recovers. All I know is that for one more day, I get to be in recovery. That's my share. Thank you so much, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Andrea B. from New York. And we're ready to take another lineup. So if you haven't shared on Friday or Monday of the prior couple of days, please press star one, and let's take another lineup. Who would like to share? Nancy P.
Nancy R.
Nancy R.
Can you repeat the page and paragraph?
Yes, we are on page 94, the first five sentences of the first paragraph, starting with outline the program of action.
This is Kim A. I'd like to share.
Okay, Kim A. Who else wants to join on this paragraph? All right, well, in sake of time, let's get going. Nancy P. from Massachusetts, you have the floor, and you'll be followed by Nancy R.
Hey, good morning, Nancy. Nancy P., recovering in Western Massachusetts. Thank you for letting me share. So luckily for me, this is a program of attraction, not promotion, because I don't really feel like if I had to go up and sell something out of my store called Nancy P's Experience, Strength, and Hope, and that's what I have on offer, I don't feel like anybody would buy it. So, you know, I sit like a spider in my web, you know, and I say when I'm available to sponsor, and people call me, sometimes people call me, you know, know, just out of the blue, asked me if I could help them. And, you know, I will if I think that my message will find fertile ground. And, you know, it depends, just, you know, what they say about themselves. I kind of interview them only to see if they would be compatible. And, you know, I make it really clear in writing, as a matter of fact, before I have a little thing that I send, the same one that my sponsor sent me almost 8 years ago now, over 7.5 years ago. And she made it clear what she expected. And so the only thing that I added to it is that they have to be on time and ready to work. And I learned that lesson when I said to someone, okay, are you ready? She goes, no, I'm driving right now. And I said, okay, I'll put that on my list. Don't be driving. And, you know, I make it clear that I'm not a food sponsor. I have one conversation about food, and that is just to help them figure out what their alcoholic foods are, and then I tell them to go to a professional, which I am not. And then I tell them out loud that I don't care what they eat, but that they should. The only thing that I care about is if they're late, because that action affects my life. And, you know, I have good, you know, I think I have good relationships with my sponsees. But I'll tell you one thing that is even more important than that is what I call fellowshipping. Like, I reach out to people all the time, every day. I make phone calls. And the reason that I do that, first of all, is because I was told to do that, but I very quickly became addicted to that. And what it does for me, it's not just in the minute that making phone calls, like, you know, it says in the tools, like, we call before we take the bite. Well, if I'm at the point where I'm going to eat, I'm not going to think about taking a phone call. I have to be already in good enough condition to do that. And the only way that I know how to do that is to do it all the time, so that it's not a foreign idea that doesn't enter into my mind. And then what I get out of that is the idea that I remember this is, you know, I don't really like to call it 12-stepping in the 12th step, but because it talks about the 12 steps starting on the first page of the doctor's opinion. What it does is it fits together 12 to 1 so that I never, ever forget that I'm powerless over food and that my life is unmanageable, whether I'm eating or not, because I haven't been eating in a long time. But my life is still wicked impossible for me. And, you know, last week I had a couple of things that were really bothering me, and I said so on the line, and I instantly got texts, and, you know, a half a dozen people called me over that day and the next couple of days, you know, what's going on? Do you need someone to talk to? I'm here. Like, I couldn't buy that. I'll wrap up, Nancy. I couldn't buy that kind of feedback with all the money in the world before I recovered. And, you know, fellowshipping with other people has changed me down to my DNA. I highly recommend it. And the way that you get there is one thing and one thing only. Say it with me. Surrender, surrender, surrender. Sorry, I went over. I'll pass.
That was Nancy P. from Massachusetts. And next up is followed by another Nancy. Nancy R. from Illinois, I believe. Nancy, you have the floor.
You are correct, Nancy. All the Nancy's this morning. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater, grateful this morning. Grateful that we work with others. And I've really appreciated all the shares this morning. You know, to tell my story to another suffering compulsive overeater. You know, like another person who shared this morning said, like, not to only share my story, but to share how I got to be recovered, which is working in the steps as outlined in the big book, and continuing to work them, continuing to be willing to let God lead my life. It's a good reminder that my attempt to pass what I've gotten onto the still suffering compulsive overeater plays a vital part in my own recovery. I really have to, it's important for me to remember because it's easier for me to rest on my laurels and be like, you know, I'm working with people and I don't necessarily need to say that I'm an available sponsor. I'll do fine with what I'm doing right now. And the truth, that's one of the dishonest thoughts that my compulsive brain tells me. And the truth is that I am happy to pass along what I have received, and that it is vital for my recovery for me to continue to do that. And so with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Nancy R. from Illinois. And next up, we have Kim A. from New York, and then we'll take another lineup. We'll still have time for some more shares. So, Kim, please share with us.
Hi, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, thank you. So, you know, I'm coming in a little late. I apologize if I'm repeating what other people are saying. But, you know, just like every other part of the big book, we're being given very specific directions how we work with other people, how we can find them, and how we can sponsor. And, you know, things do need to kind of be taken with a grain of salt because, you know, when the big book was written, it was such a brand new fellowship that, you know, they were pretty much doing all the steps in like one day. But, you know, these few lines are basically telling us that we're focusing on ourselves, right? And I noticed that it doesn't even use the word alcohol. You know, it's not saying, tell your protege all about your drinking and all about how you, like, live your life around not drinking. So that, to me, translates into, I don't need to be having a conversation about my binging history because that's not even, like, important or pertinent. And it's not saying that I have to, like, even talk about food at all. It's saying that I need to explain how the steps work, right? Outline the program of action, because that's the steps. Explain how it worked for me, how it helped me straighten out my messes, right? And why I'm now looking to be carrying this message. And the honest reason why I'm looking to carry this message is because, you know, they tell us, first of all, in like the very first paragraph of this chapter, practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. Immunity is like a really strong word. And so that means that if I'm really wanting to ward off the idea of going back to compulsive eating as my solution to life, then I need to be doing this kind of work, not making outreach calls every day, not just calling into meetings. That's not like intensive work. Intensive work is sponsoring. Intensive work is carrying this message to not just people who are coming to me, but people that, you know, I can seek out. And, you know, they give us information on how to do that as well and what to say and what not to say. But, you know, it's not just about me. It's not just about ensuring my own recovery. It's also because, you know, by now we're on step 12. That's what this chapter's about. And I've gone through the previous 11 steps, and I've really gotten a lot of humility, right? And that doesn't mean that I want to spend things. It doesn't mean I want to spend every minute of every day, like, going out and being helpful. But it means that I'm basically, like, asking my higher power every single day, like, how can I be helpful to people? And I truly want to be most of the time. And so just as always, you know, we need to make sure that we are following the directions in the book and in close contact with our own sponsor and with our higher power. And I'll pass. This is Kim A. from New York City. Thanks.
Thank you, Kim A. And we have time for probably two or three more shares. Who would like to take that space? Press star one.
Darian K.
Darian K. Who would like to join Darian?
Tina S.
Christina S.
Ashley F. in Kentucky.
Ashley. All right. Ashley S. from Kentucky. Let's go with that and see if we fill up the time. We have Darian K. from Darian, tell us where you're calling from, and you have the floor.
Yes, good morning, Nancy. This is Darian Kay. I'm in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts, and I'm gratefully recovered and happy to be on the line with all of you and listening to the really wonderful shares and perspective on this reading. And, you know, I just love this meeting so much because of that, you know, breaking it down to small, digestible chunks. That's what I need to understand and comprehend and really take in, internalize, really, this program, because that's the important part. I can listen, I can, you know, learn, and it can all be sort of outside of me, but if I don't take it in to my soul, it's just not gonna help. It's not gonna, you know, become something that's just a way of life for me. And that's what this program needs
Darian,
to be.
There's a lot of background noise.
Yeah, sorry. I know I'm driving. Let me just see if I can switch a room here.
All right, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Much better. There you go.
Okay,
better,
I know.
You.
I'm sort of doing it illegally, but okay. So anyway, I am just so grateful that I have this program in my life and that I can work with others. I know, you know, it just makes me think of like what I did before program. Just went to whatever pay and weigh clubs, took the food plan home, and worked by myself. And boy, that was just failure waiting to happen because I wasn't helping anyone else. So nobody knew what I was eating. Nobody knew what I was doing. Nobody knew how dishonest I was. Lies of omission, up and down, all around. And then paying money to do that. How crazy. And so, you know, this program is so different, as we all know, that we're helping others. And it is the bright spot of my day to be able to talk to somebody. You know, I love talking to new people. I love putting my name out and getting phone calls and being able to connect with somebody. You know, because my mind, they say your mind's a terrible place to be in by yourself, you know, it's a dangerous neighborhood. And, you know, I needed to run this morning, you know, from the neighborhood and try to, you know, just be, really helpful to others so that I don't get consumed with my own thoughts and feelings, and usually fears come up. And so it's such a great way to live life. Is to like be on that plane of helping others, having a purpose, you know, doing that service, whatever form it comes in, and working the steps, obviously, and you know, and also the tools. The tools are super important too because it helps us stay connected, right? Phone calls and meetings.
Mental reminder.
Thanks. That's part of working with others. So it all goes together and just makes me think of like a beautiful bow on a present, you know, and it's got two strings that you tie together. And so when you do that, it just becomes this beautiful gift. So thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Darian K. from Massachusetts. And next we have Tina S. from Florida. Tina, please share with us, and you'll be followed by Ashley S.
Thanks so much, Nancy. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. And yeah, wow, what a great chapter. You know, I don't think I'm going to say anything that hasn't already been said. You know, what I do know is when I come to this meeting, when things are shared, my head's shaken up and down. Yes, I can so relate. You know, and when I first got here, working the steps, actually even the first time, this chapter, I kind of just like glimpsed over, didn't really, you know, but today I'm so grateful that we study this chapter so we know how to carry the message with the specific instructions, like it's been said by almost everybody that shared. You know, we have outlined the program of action, you know, and this is specifically given to me in the first 164 pages. You know, so I know how to do this, you know, and, you know, and I'm so grateful that I had somebody do this for me so that I know how to carry the message, you know, and I too, you know, and I think it was just said, you know, speaking with newcomers is the bright spot of my day. It really, really is. I get excited. I get excited. I had somebody text me yesterday, and, you know, and I was just so excited, you know, to talk to new people, or to talk even new for me, but maybe even not new to the program. But what I do know is I had to keep the focus on me, to share what I was like, what happened, and what I'm like today. And it only came about for me is through the 12 steps, having a transformation that only comes about through that. You know, and it says, it suggests how important it is to place the welfare of other people ahead of his own. You know, and I say that right away. You know, people said that to me, and I didn't really want to hear that. You know, I'm selfish, self-centered to the extreme. I didn't want to put anybody's welfare ahead of my own. And today, you know, that's kind of one of the first things I think about. In my prayers, the first when I get up in the morning, I ask God to show me how I can be helpful for the man who is still sick today. You know, and initially when I started to say that prayer years ago, I didn't really mean it. But today I mean it, you know, and it like puts a smile on my face, you know, and some days are better than the others. I heard somebody share, no, I don't want to do this 24/7 every day. But what I do know, and it was already said, everything I'm saying was already said today, but I just got really excited. So I had to share, you know, if I don't give this thing away, I'm not going to keep it. And that initially is what helped, what made me, you know, start help working with other people, because I wanted to keep what I had. You know, I was getting free one day at a time. So anyway, what a great meeting, and I just have to say that. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Hey, thank you, Tina S. from Florida. And next up, we have Ashley S. And Ashley, if you'd tell us where you're calling from, you have the floor, and we might have time for one more after Ashley. Ashley, please take it.
Good morning. This is Ashley F. calling from Kentucky. Thank you. Recovered compulsive overeater by God's grace and mercy in this 12-step program. I noticed today that, you know, it says we outline the program of action, and I know that's been pointed to already, but this isn't, this for me, like, is the map, and I am so thankful that about 2.5 years ago, someone kept bringing me back to this map. My sponsor, the one who, you know, helped point me to the directions that have created recovery, which I didn't think was possible. I really thought when people said I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, I was like, that is unreal, like not possible, doesn't happen. It does, but I really for, you know, 16 years in the program with role confusion. I didn't know what the heck I was supposed to be doing for myself, much less for somebody else. And this paragraph so clearly says it's 1, 2, 3. And my sponsor, lovingly but clearly, we did one thing together, and it really was different than any sponsorship experience I had had before. And that was, hey, it's you look at yourself. This is how. This isn't understand it. This isn't, you know, it's how we do the thing, not what happened or a plan for what we're going to do. Look at yourself, clean up your past, and help others. And it's like boom, boom, boom. And we hear it throughout the book. But for whatever reason, this time, her just holding the light to the actual path anytime I would stray. It was like, okay, where are we? Where are we in your self-appraisal, cleaning up your past, and helping other people? And it created the thing that I have heard everybody talk about that I just genuinely didn't think was possible. I can chase down a lot of interesting things in the woods of compulsive overeating with even in my own mind, but with another compulsive overeater, if I lose track of, like, this is my role in this program, it can get real messy real quick. And so I'm thankful for that guidance and that, you know, somebody holding the lamp to the actual path. The other thing I wanted to mention is I didn't believe when I got here that I was under no obligation. That was a very foreign concept. I had never had any, at least I hadn't experienced like, oh, somebody that I don't even know is going to give something to me and then not have an expectation. And that was so foreign and strange. And as has already been said, once you're on the other side of it, you so get it because it's like, oh my gosh.
Until reminder.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful day, everybody. I'll pass.
Thank you, Ashley F. And thanks to everyone who shared today. And please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today's meeting that is just wrapping up, Tuesday, April 29th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 22,385. And a big thank you to Team Tuesday, who did an awesome job this month. And we'll now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Marge O. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you. Good morning, all. Marge O. from Walpole, Massachusetts, recovered and eternally grateful for this program. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you travel the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until